The key to victory in the war of the ages is the blood of the Lamb. The devil's goal, as we have seen again in this chapter, is to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ and those who are his. We read in this chapter of the war in heaven that appeared then in the battle in the earth against the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ. This chapter depicts the conflict that surrounds us. Peter has told us that our enemy is a roaring lion who goes about seeking whom he may devour. He accuses those who follow the Lamb. He is the one who inspired the persecutions by the Roman emperors in the early centuries of the church's history. He is the one who inspired the persecutions of the Inquisition. But those who have followed the Lord Jesus Christ, we read, did not hesitate to surrender their lives. They loved not their lives to the death. And so their blood has stained the soil in many parts of the world, including even in our time. And in many cases, the ashes of our brothers and sisters in Christ have been scattered across the world. But even in death, they prevailed. This text tells us their secret. They overcame the roaring lion by the blood of the Lamb. The warfare that is swirling around us is getting more intense. We have seen evidence of it even in this year, because as we have also read in this chapter, the devil knows that he has but a short time. You and I are now on the front lines. Even now we feel the fierceness of the devil's fury. Where is the citadel of our strength? It is the blood of the Lamb. Lay against the enemy the blood of the Lamb, and he falls to pieces. This morning, we're coming to the trenches. The smoke of battle is thick around us, and we can observe around us the soldiers of Christ in their armor, ready to carry the battle against the enemy. And we hear from them that song of gladness and determination that comes from their lips. It's the wondrous refrain of victory through Christ's blood. And I want you to think upon that theme with me this morning: victory through Christ's blood. We're preparing to come to the Lord's table again today. And we cannot deny the reality of which we have read, that our foe is strong. Families are under attack from every possible direction. The values of a corrupt age threaten to engulf those growing up in our homes, and try as we can to shield them from those debasing influences, we face the reality that those who are growing up in our homes are going to feel the power of that wickedness in their lives. And in the area of religion, the attack is particularly strong. We hear the affirmations of others that churches cannot exist in these days in the old-fashioned way of insisting on rigid adherence to the standards of the Bible. No, we are told people will not abide by those standards anymore. They want something easier. And there comes the siren song again. Give some. Give a little. Round off the corner or the corners that give so many people a problem. It's the old warfare raging today that has been raging for centuries. How are we going to gain the victory in our homes and in our lives? It is by the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way. That is why when we come to the Lord's Supper, we come to remember Christ through the elements that speak of his broken body and his shed blood. It is the only way in which to overcome the enemy that we face. What does his blood accomplish? How do Christ's soldiers remain resolute in the face of sharp hatred for the truth? Well, let us consider this morning four messages of this prevailing blood before we come to partake of the Lord's Supper. First, the guarantee of forgiveness. It helps a lot in this fierce battle with the enemy to know beyond any doubt that your sins are forgiven, that your enemy has nothing to say against you. There is joy when the enemy launches accusations against you. There's joy in being able to say, I know that my sins are gone and that they are buried in the deepest sea. To know that you have escaped the condemnation of the law is the most liberating knowledge you can have. Let us turn back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And to verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, I'd like to take off and preach on that text by itself. If God is for you, who can be against you? Does it really matter who is against you? If God is for you, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In the gift of his Son, he ensures that we will receive everything that his Son came to purchase. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? Well, it is the enemy that condemneth. It's the enemy that launches accusations. Who is he that condemneth? Here's the answer. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Here's the liberating knowledge of the forgiveness of sins through the blood. It's the knowledge that emboldens Christ's soldiers on the battlefield. Imagine a soldier who knows that no matter what happens, he cannot fall before his enemies. Recently, I finished listening to a book about the Normandy campaign in World War II in 1944. And it was a book that began with the D-Day landings, but the story, of course, doesn't end there. It went on to consider what came afterward and the 2.5 months that followed those landings that were required to break through and to force the enemy to retreat. And I was listening to the account of one German soldier who had been in the war, he and his comrade, since the early days. And he had been in many intense battles. And he had survived. He hadn't even really been wounded. He had survived all of those battles and thought that he was invincible. But in one of the battles in the Normandy campaign, he was hit and he died. That's the confidence of the flesh. But those who are fighting in the spiritual warfare have the confidence that they cannot be killed. They cannot be defeated. And how is that knowledge the heritage of believers? Well, let us turn again in Romans to chapter 3 this time. Romans chapter 3. Verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, through faith in his blood. It is the blood of Christ that marks the people of Christ as belonging to him. It sets them apart. It removes from them the filth and the corruption of this evil world. You turn to 1 John, the first epistle of John, toward the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 1. And verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. It's the blood that cleanses us. It is the blood that draws our attention to the righteousness of God. When you are confronting the enemy who is a liar and a murderer, there is nothing better than to have the confidence that the one for whom you fight and the one who is your captain is entirely right and just. When you're under the banner of the Lamb's blood, you know everything is well with your soul. The blood of Christ has satisfied every requirement of the law of God against you. And that brings me to the second message that comes to us from our text. The line of separation. Victory through Christ's blood brings us to the line of separation, because we find in our text the great dividing line between the Lord's soldiers and the devil. What is that line? It is the blood of the Lamb. We remember the experience of Rahab the harlot in the book of Joshua. The spies whom Rahab sheltered at the risk of her own life, because she had come to be a believer in the Lord, they told her that she needed to hang in her window on the wall of the city a scarlet line. Not a piece of string, but a cord strong enough by which she let them down from the wall. That scarlet line was the message that she and her family were sheltering under redeeming blood. It identified her as being among the people of God. And when the city was destroyed, Joshua gave special orders that the people in that house where that line was were to be spared. And that was a great picture of the scarlet line of Christ's blood marking your heart. If it doesn't mark your heart, you are among the allies of the enemy. And the characteristic of that enemy is his hostility against the people of Christ. He hates them and roars against them. He longs, as Peter said, to devour them in an instant. We remember one of our prior messages at the Lord's table during this summer. We remember the Lord's warning to Peter, Simon. Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. That is the measure of the devil's hostility against you and against me. He may disguise himself as an angel of light. But when you look to the blood of the Lamb, the pretense dissolves and you see the enemy as he really is, the father of evil and wickedness. The blood by which you overcome the enemy, then, is the blood that marks you as belonging to Christ. And here, to me, is a great aspect of the Lord's Supper. When you drink the cup, it is your testimony that you belong to Christ. And the blood of Jesus, of which the cup speaks, is the mark that is upon your soul. It is this blood, the blood of the Lamb, that separates you from the wickedness of this world and from the wrath that is to come. I often think of the day of judgment, and that where for the world it will be a day of great consternation. People will be looking for the mountains and the hills to fall upon them and to shelter them from the wrath of the Lamb. That day for the people of God will be a day of great triumph. Because the blood has sheltered them from that wrath. And that blood is what we remember when we take the cup and drink its contents. And then we come to the third message in our text, the evidence of power. The blood of the Lamb has power. What does the blood do? Well, it removes the conscience of guilt. The devil comes, as we have read in Revelation 12, to accuse the brethren, to complain about their weakness, about their failings, about their disloyalty, everything that we know we are prey to. But we read in verse 10 that the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The overcoming is the power of the blood to take away from us the conscience of guilt. It removes that conscience. And it removes the fear of death. I like that statement in our text. They loved not their lives unto the death. Already by the time the Spirit inspired John to write these words in this vision, already many people that he knew personally had given their lives, including his own brother, James, who many years before had suffered death at the hands of Herod. So he was thinking of him, I'm sure, as he wrote these words. They loved not their lives unto the death. That is, they didn't look upon their lives as something to be preserved at all costs. They would do what they were required to do to preserve their lives, but not at the price of giving up Jesus Christ. They loved not their lives unto the death. There are many testimonies of the martyrs from Roman times that they went to their deaths singing. They went to their deaths with confidence. Because this power that is in the blood assures the people of Christ of ultimate victory. It doesn't matter how dark things appear in the world, the ultimate victory of the people of God lies in the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him. And that brings me to the fourth message in our text, the shout of triumph. We read here in verse 10, the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Satan falls to his condemnation through the blood of the Lamb. At the same time, Christ ascends to his place of glory. You see, people thought that Jesus failed when the Romans sent him to his death on Calvary. The Jews thought they prevailed. But the reality is, Jesus rose from the dead and he ascended up on high to his place of glory. That is where he is now. And in the midst of the warfare that rages around us, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. So that Christ's people rejoice in their security. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Here is victory through Christ's blood. When we come to the table of the Lord today, we come to remember our Lord's sufferings, and we come to rejoice in the security that is ours. This supper is designed to strengthen our faith, to build us up in our faith in the gospel, that we may leave here rejoicing again in the security that is ours through the blood of the Lamb.